to 2 Samuel chapter 5. 2 Samuel chapter 5. We're going to hear a word from the Lord this morning. How many is ready to hear the word of God? 2 Samuel chapter 5. We're going to begin at verse number 1. I'm going to read out of the NIV version the word of God. All the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and said, "We are your own flesh and blood. In the past, while Saul was king over us, you were the one who led Israel on their military campaigns. And the Lord said to you, 'You will shepherd my people Israel, and you will become their ruler.' When all the elders of Israel had come to King David at Hebron, the king made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he became king, and he reigned 40 years. In Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem, he reigned over all Israel and Judah 33 years. Now, in our Bible study class on Wednesday night, now you know what that means. Remember, there's two nations, okay, that were in Israel at that time, Israel and Judah, and now King David is now united at this point in time to have both kingdoms. 7 years in Judah, 33 years in Israel, total 40. Now, the king and his men marched to Jerusalem to attack the Jebusites. Jerusalem was not theirs. It was inhabited by enemies. When David showed up, he attacked the Jebusites who lived there. The Jebusites said to David, now watch how the attitude and the just the mockery of your enemy is. He tells this to David, "You will not get in here. Even the blind and the lame can ward you off." I want it to sink in. "Even the blind and lame can ward you off," they thought. "David cannot get in here." Nevertheless, David captured the fortress of Zion, which is the city of David. On that day, David had said, "Anyone who conquers the Jebusites will have to use the water shaft to reach those," quote unquote, "lame and blind." He uses their own words. "Who are David's enemies. That is why they say, 'The blind and lame will not enter the palace.'" David took up residence in the fortress and called it the city of David. He built up the area around it from the terraces inward, and he became more and more powerful because the Lord God Almighty was with him. You will become more and more powerful so long as the Lord God Almighty is with you. Amen. We preach and we teach here God is a progressive advancing God. That you are growing from where you were, but yet you have still places to grow and things to do, because that's the kind of God. That's what gets me so excited about living for God. I'm just thankful that I got more to look forward to. I got more to get excited about. I'm not stuck in anything. God is still working in my life. So I'm going to preach to you this morning. Validation is coming. Validation is coming. Let's lift our voices right now, Father. In the name of Jesus, your spirit is here right now. But what we desire, God, is an anointing to destroy every yoke, to encourage the believers, oh God, to walk in what you have put inside of us. There are hidden secrets in our hearts that continually want to go forward and bust out and be more than conquerors. I believe there's something stirring inside of individuals that say, God, let your will be done and defy every lie of the enemy. And don't let me be intimidated by his trickery, his mockery. I shall not be intimidated. We are a people that's going forward and marching and conquering. And we're not just doing it in our local church, but in our homes and in our health and in our jobs and in our city. Revival is coming. Validation is coming. What we're doing is not in vain. The power of God will allow us to continue to grow. Yeah.
believe it, clap your hands and shout hallelujah. Shout like it's already done. Shout like it's already happened. Shout like you believe it. I feel like preaching. You can be seated. There are realities that we need to recognize if we're going to be people who are consistently going after the will of God for our lives. I will not. I shall not. I will never shy away to continuously point to us and to our attention the fact that we, yes, every single one of us, everyone under the sound of my voice, are a key part of the plan of God. I know some of you might not believe it. I know some of you might not be excited about it. You think it for somebody else, but I'm going to shout it from the rooftop. Everybody here is in the will and the plan and the purpose of God, and God wants to do something in you for his kingdom. If you believe it, say yes.
Yes.
Say yes. Dr. Charles Stanley said it this way that I love. He said, I quote, "No one is a bystander in God's kingdom." Do you know what a bystander is? Somebody that just looks and watches things go by them. Not in the kingdom of God. Every single one of us is a part of what God is going to do in the last day. And he said, in the last day, I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. And there's going to be some prophesying. There is going to be some healing. There is going to be some deliverance. There is going to be some yoke-destroying power that God is going to do. This place is not going to hold what God is about to do. Does anybody believe and know that God's about to bring back some backsliders? For the Holy Ghost already. Does anybody know that the fire of the Holy Ghost is going to encapture this place where there won't be any room, and they'll be dancing and shouting and jumping and praising and shouting hallelujah and praise God. Everybody in your family will be raising their hand and worshiping God. Do you want it? I said everybody in your home will be singing and shouting and giving God praise for his delivering power. If you got unsaved loved ones, I tell you, in the name of Jesus, God, let's go baptize him with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Say yes. Nobody's a bystander. Nobody's in the background. God wants to raise up new people. God wants to raise up old people. God wants to raise up everybody in between. Again, if you believe it, say yes. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6:1, we then, as workers together with him, we, I'm going to say we. As workers, say workers. Together with him. I'm not doing this by myself. You're not walking through your battle by yourself. The reason why you're going through that heaviness and that attack and those weights is because the enemy knows that God is want to work with you. I say, let's make up in our mind, God, I'm going to work with you. And every attack in my life is only a sign I'm in the right place at the right time, and validation is coming. God is going to raise up a people that say, I'm going to keep on holding on. I'm going to keep on trusting in God. I'm not waiting on the words of the enemy. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord until I die. The reason why I keep on pushing is validation is coming. Ain't nothing I do in the house of God's in vain. Every penny I give, every time I'm in the house of God, every time I raise my hands, it's worth it for what God's about to do. It's worth it for what God is about to do. Now, if you don't believe that God's going to do anything, you won't understand a word I'm saying. But if there's somebody that believes that God's about to do it, stand on your feet and say, I believe it. I know it. I'm ready for it. I say yes to it. Let it happen, oh God. We have to understand this. We are workers together with him, and that his plan is to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why today we gave a special offering. Why are we giving again? Why am I giving again? Because it's not about us. Revival is not going to be just in the city. God, let me give so a missionary can take a truck and go into the byside areas and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm a part of that plan. I might not be able to go to Ecuador literally, but I'll give my tithe or my offering and I will sacrifice. I may need it, but they need it more. There's somebody that needs to hear the gospel, and validation is coming. I said validation is coming, and what I do for Christ is the only thing that lasts. I believe with all my heart that if we find ourselves living our lives to do God's work, that will, hear me, if we find ourselves doing God's work, that will in turn allow everything else in our lives to become victorious.
Amen.
Many times we get it backwards. Let me get this in order. Let me get that in order. And I'll put everything into God once those things are in order. And God is saying, I'm going to validate you in a different way. Put all your eggs in the church. Put all your eggs in the church. Put all your proverbial eggs and all your attention on doing the work of God and being available for God and worshiping Him and seeking His face and creating an atmosphere in your local congregation. And then through that, everything else is going to take care of itself. And before the message is over, you will hear the proof through the Word of God. If I keep on praying and I keep on fasting and I keep on being faithful, validation is coming, that nothing that I do for Christ is in vain. Do you believe it this morning? Nothing you would do in the kingdom of God. If you seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I don't know how it happened, Devin, but you got a check for $500 and you didn't give in order to get a check, but you saw first the kingdom of God at 12 years old and His righteousness, and all things are added unto you. That makes no sense. A 12-year-old boy getting a $500 check, and it ain't just money. There was a spiritual thing that happened first, and some of you need some breakthroughs, but you ain't gonna get it until you get the principle that for God I live and for God I die and I give everything to His work. Deliverance and help for your life is in your priorities. It's not God that we're waiting on. It's God waiting on us. If our priority is to do whatever we can first for the kingdom of God and its expansion, not my expansion, not my will, but His will, then everything else falls into place. People that are having joy inside and their life is overflowing, it's not because they have no problems. It's just their priorities are in the right place. And they understand, I know it looks bad right now, but validation's coming. I know, y'all ain't hearing me. I know I look messed up right now, but this ain't the finished product. And even though I look all messed up, I'm going to keep on giving God my best, because the story has not been ended yet. God has not yet got the last word. I'm telling somebody, validation is coming. You ain't busted in discussion as much as you think you are. The enemy wants you to think that you're going to stay in that place, but the devil is a liar. God is about to raise somebody up. I said the devil is a liar. Somebody's about to get exalted. Somebody's about to get promoted. Somebody's going a little bit higher. I said somebody's going a little bit higher. If you believe it, shout yes. Jesus said, in frustration. Jesus, yes, He got frustrated. In frustration, turned to the disciples, He said, verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe in those things which he saith. Not what God says, but what he says. You got to start putting more words in your own mouth. You got to start saying by yourself, I don't know about anybody else, but I choose to believe the report of the Lord. His report says I am healed. His report says I am filled. His report says I am free. His report says victory. And I'm going to shout it on the mountaintop. And every barrier in my life is coming down in Jesus' name. I'm going to speak to every mountain. I'm going to speak to every barrier. I'm going to speak to every wall. I'm going to speak to every financial disposition. I'm going to speak to every sickness. Every emotional disorder. Come on, somebody. I'm going to speak to the things that are in my way. I'm saying you got to come down, because the word is nigh in my mouth. I speak those things that are not as though they were. You want to see your mess turn around? Start speaking crazy in the name of Jesus. My mind is right. My heart is right. My spirit is right. My joy is right. Every last thing gonna be all right. This is a real thing that came out of the mouth of Jesus from this position. When I get upset and frustrated with my kids, I'm not like just angry at them for nothing. There's something that's motivating my passion and my anger, and it's my love for them. Jesus loved his disciples. Jesus loves us. And he wanted to be able to communicate as best as he could that there are things that he knows that's trying to stop us. He sees it. He knows it. And he says, they can't. They can't stop you. I know you're saying it out of your mouth that they are stopping me. And so Jesus, in his frustrated love for us, says, no, they cannot stop you. You gotta change your words. And I tell you that no fiery dart from the pit of hell can stop what I already put on the inside of you. And so I gotta preach, I gotta yell, I gotta scream, I gotta do whatever I can, maybe be mean a little bit to stir you, to say that the power of God is in your mouth, and that you gotta believe that no matter where you are right now, if I keep on trusting in my God, validation is coming. Everything will be alright, and the enemy will see in my soul, I thought I had them, but no, I don't, because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I preach right now, and that validation is coming for your life. He wants the mindset to be thoroughly in us and then truly applied, not just in here. And I appreciate the shout, and you better keep on shouting. But when I stop preaching and 2 o'clock hits, there still better be a shout and on the inside of you. And that's our problem. Some of you only shout and praise and dance in the house of God. Well, how about you get outside the four walls of the church, and when the devil's all around you and fire darts are coming, why don't you run the aisle in your kitchen? Why don't you say hallelujah in your living room? I'm preaching to somebody today. Don't you just praise and magnify God in the house of God, but say, I will bless the Lord at all times. At all times, I will open up my mouth when the bill comes in. I'm still going to magnify God, because it ain't over yet. Validation is coming, and before it ever comes, I'm going to shout hallelujah right now. Yeah, devil, right now, hallelujah. But the reality is that we have hesitations.
our hesitations to this actually being consistent and manifested in our lives, I need to evaluate that. You got to think sometimes through some stuff. Why do I hesitate? Am I the only one that hesitates? Am I the only one that hesitates? So why do I hesitate? Okay. If God wills us to see mountains removed, but in reality, I still got mountains that are literally right now looking down upon me, I then need to evaluate that. What is the cause? So I can identify it and then crush it. Is there warriors in here? We got... Is there anybody who's just sick and tired of those weights? Yes. Yes. Come on, get angry. Get angry. Get angry. Aren't you tired of it? Yes. Yes. This past month, I listened to the ancient Chinese military treatise called The Art of War by Sun Tzu. I don't have time to detail it. So I summarize in my own words that the writer in his genius was saying this: make sure you can identify every advantage that you have and capitalize on it quickly, and identify every weakness you have and make proper adjustments. So what I feel led to communicate concerning our weakness, I got to identify what it is that hesitations come out of a result of feeling that I am not validated in walking in this higher level because of the very challenges that I'm facing. In other words, the very tests and trials that I'm currently going through, in my mind, is proof that I'm not worthy to walk in the favor of God. Does that make sense? By the very nature of my trials, that in and of itself tells me I'm not worthy to go higher. Because don't you see the trials in my face? Am I communicating this properly? Stay with me. A lot of our hesitations happen because many times we've tried to apply the word. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Try to obey the word. But as I do that, there ends up being so much more opposition that follows my attempts to obey the word. I'm trying to apply the word. And the more I apply the word, tests come that I never saw before. So my hesitation then naturally is, I don't want to move too quick because every time I do, the enemy comes to attack me. So in my mind, that now validates that I am not worthy to walk in the favor of God. So I hesitate. I can't walk on that level. And if I'm honest, I won't speak for you, I'll speak for me. Maybe I'm not doing something right. I mean, I love God, but I can't get it right. I mean, I love God. I come with expectation. I come ready to worship. I come ready to give my very best. I come to sacrifice. And I feel that I'm making progress, but then somehow, some way, falls apart. If I'm following his principles, why all the mess around me then? And then others might say, it's all hype. It's all wishful thinking. It's all emotionalism. It's far-fetched thinking. It's not reality.
And they conclude logically that if we can't be validated in believing God to press into a better thought life, a better future, a people who are completely God's kingdom conscious, we conclude that if it's not my problem for the kingdom of God to grow, I got my own personal problems. It's not my responsibility for the church to grow. I'm trying to keep myself together in my own house. I got my own personal situation to deal with and worry about the kingdom of God. I got my own issues to deal with rather than dealing with what the kingdom of God needs. Going after the kingdom of God will take care of your personal problems, church. And not only taking care of the kingdom of God, take care of your personal problems. It at the same time begins to affect others that you care about. As your tide rises in the kingdom of God, so does the tide rise around you. And so stop trying to fix it yourself and say, I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God, and watch your situation turn around, not just for you, but people in your family will go to you and say, something is different. I know you haven't been answering my phone calls as much. No, I'm not, but I am praying, and the prayer is going to move more things than I can do in the natural. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. There's some of you that are trying to control everything by your maneuvering, and that ain't going to work. If you want to control something in the spirit world, shut your mouth up and get on your knees. Shut your mouth up and start praying in the spirit. I know you don't want to hear it, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. You're trying to push things yourself and it ain't going to be moved. But what will be moved is you praying in the spirit and letting the Holy Ghost work for you. I want to tell you, the Holy Ghost is real. I said the Holy Ghost is real. Learn how to pray in the spirit.
Stay with me, church. What highlights doubt in our mind is what the enemy will add to the table. And the enemy will try to create a false viewpoint of what you've been called to do. Can I explain it with our text scripture today? Samuel, 2 Samuel 5:1. The tribes anointed David to be king of all Israel. They raised him up. And in his calling and in his excitement, he wanted to take Jerusalem. And they said, you won't get in here. Even the blind and the lame can ward you off. And they thought, David cannot get in here. And the Lord spoke in my spirit and said, don't focus too much on what currently is happening. Take them back to what got him where he is now. Because even though right now he's about to conquer some stuff, there was some other stuff he had to conquer first when it was not going the way he thought it was going to go. He said, take him back to David's life. Tell him that he was a shepherd that loved God. And that his beginning was in secret places. I know you see him right now being anointed king of Israel and Judah. But before he ever got anointed to that place with boldness to take a city, even though he was outnumbered, there was a secret place he had first. And the word of God says too many people are wanting the anointing without the secret place. Too many people want the credit without the secret place. Too many people want the breakthrough without the secret place. Can I tell everybody here, if you want to be anointed, there has to be some secret places of prayer and of fasting.
Now, I understand who I'm preaching to. I know I'm preaching to a lot of new believers. And maybe you haven't been around church for a long time. And so I apologize if I speak cliche. I don't mean to do that. I want to communicate to everybody, if you are new, if it's your first time here, let me make it plain to you. Before anyone even knew who David was, David had a secret place where he prayed and got a hold of God. And so as you mature in your walk with God, you have to learn to get to a secret place in God. You gotta learn how to pray. You gotta learn how to call out to God by yourself. Because what we do in secret is what really gets the attention of God. His brothers did things publicly and they got overshadowed. But what you do in secret, having a secret desire for God. God, I know nobody's looking, nobody's watching, but I gotta know you. There has to be a longing, everybody here. But young to old, God, I gotta know you. In fact, why don't you raise your hand right now and close your eye and just say a prayer. God, I gotta know you. In those secret places, I gotta know you. I gotta know you. I gotta know you. I gotta know you. But thou when thou prayest, enter your closet, and when you shut the door, pray your Father, which is in secret, thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward you openly. Pray in secret. He did things in secret and still was overlooked. But because he wasn't doing them to be seen, he kept on praying in secret. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You might be overlooked in your secret prayer. You might be overlooked in your secret dedications, but you're not doing it to be seen. So keep on doing it. Keep on being faithful. Keep on working behind the scenes. Keep on crying out to God. Keep on humbling yourself before God. You keep doing the right thing long enough. I appreciate you. Validation is coming. God will raise you up.
Yes, he will.
Dad didn't call him when it came time for the anointing, but yet he still got called. He wasn't the first choice, but yet he's the one who got anointed. No, you might not be somebody's first choice. It doesn't matter. What matters is you've been alone with God. What matters is you've been in a place where you can hear the voice of God for yourself. No matter what's going on around you, somewhere that you've had a secret relationship with Jesus Christ. And then Saul tried to make him stay in a box. Saul said, do it my way. Put on my armor. Do it the way I've done it. Well, Saul, if the armor worked, why aren't you wearing it? You always got people who got something to say, got their opinion about something, but ain't doing nothing. And David says, I'm not going to do it your way. I've been in the secret places where I killed a bear and a lion. And some of you want to tell you, yes, you can get out of your box at Lighthouse Church. You can walk in the spirit of Lighthouse Church. Do what God is drawing you and pulling you to do, because you've been in secret places. And he said, I'll fight Goliath. And I know Goliath is trying to intimidate me. And Goliath had his own expectation concerning me. He thought he would feed my body to the birds. But on contrary, because now validation is coming, he slew that giant.
Hallelujah.
And there's some giants for you to slay.
Yeah.
I said there's some giants for you to slay. If you get in a secret place, I want to tell you, he cursed him and he tried to intimidate him and he tried to limit him. And you got people, you got things, you got situations in your life that are cursing you, making you feel like you're nothing, you're nobody, and you won't get ahead. I want to tell you this morning, validation is coming. Validation is coming. Validation is coming. He says, you think that I'm coming to you with sword? I don't come to you with swords and spears. Come on, you in the name of the Lord. And he killed him. But then, after that victory, watch this, Saul turns on him. You would think, after winning a battle of that magnitude, everybody would anoint you. Everybody would pat you on the back. Everybody would say, good job in your progression. And on the contrary, you get pushed aside. Who do you think you are anyway? I'm the king. I'm in control. And you're going to have things pulling at you after your victories. Please hear me right now. Because some of you have been progressing and the devil picks up his head and now you think what you did was fake. You think you didn't hear from God because after you killed the giant, you're being cursed by your closest people. You're being attacked by the people closest to you. You're being attacked by the very thing that you thought would lift you up. Am I talking to anybody here today? And so look at David. He just killed Goliath, and not too long after that, he has to run for his life. He has no place of security. And many of you right now, you're so insecure in your spirit. You don't know what's up. You don't know what's down. You're all confused. You're all messed up because you thought you were walking in God's will, but yet now you're in a cave somewhere. You're lonely in your spirit. Am I talking to somebody today? You don't have the answers of why you are going through what you're going through. You thought things would get better, and things are getting worse, and now you're in a cave running for your literal life. He was called a vagabond, an outcast, chosen but yet hated. I'm chosen but I'm hated. I'm chosen but there's fights all around me. And then there was two instances where he could have killed Saul. The point right here is, look how he behaved in difficult places. We don't act right in difficult places. We act a fool in difficult places. And here's David, who slayed a giant, and now he has two different opportunities to kill his enemy, to speak words of negativity concerning those that he looked to that was doing it by God, and he could have done it. But you know what? He did what was right in difficult places. Can I tell you, David, I know it's hard. David, you have an opportunity to destroy your enemy, and yet you have to keep on running. But David says, I don't know when, I don't know how, but I'm going to do the right things in difficult places, because validation is going to come. I know I'm running. I know I'm an outcast. I know things are not going right, but I choose to do right in hard situations. And then he leaves that situation, and he's with the Philistines, and they're about to go fight his people, and he was gonna join up with them. And they said, no, you can't come with us. You might turn on us. So he says, okay. So again, he tried to do the right thing. And on his way back home, the city's destroyed. His family, Jasmine, is kidnapped. His wife and kids and stuff is kidnapped. I keep on doing the right thing, and now I've lost everything. Help us, Holy Ghost. Help us, Holy Ghost. I keep on doing the right things, and things keep on getting worse. And all the stuff was gone. And David could have blasphemed God and said, forget this anointing. If this is what it means to be anointing, I don't want it. This is what it means to be called. I don't want it. If it hurts this bad to be obedient to you, I don't want it. But David encouraged himself in the Lord and said, Lord, do you want me to go back and get that stuff? And the Lord says, yes, get everything. Can I tell somebody, restoration is about to happen in your life. There are some things that God is going to restore. I can't tell you the exact things, but you got to put yourself in a mindset that I'm going to encourage myself and I'm getting some stuff back. I don't know what particular stuff that God needs to give you back, but you need to say and raise your hands, Lord, I will encourage myself. I'm going to get my stuff back. Validate. Salvation is going to come. And as I'm closing, he goes through all of that. And then when he's trying to do one more thing, the enemy says, David, I can get the blind people out here and the lame people out here, and you ain't gonna conquer this thing. But you know what David was saying? It's my time. Validation is coming. And he wasn't intimidated by what the enemy thought about him. I said he wasn't intimidated by what the world had to say about him. He wasn't intimidated by his past. He wasn't intimidated by anything. He said, I've been through the storm. I've been through the flood. I've been through some stuff. Is there anybody here who's been through some stuff? Who overcame some battles? Who made it over some valleys and over some mountains? Can I tell you this time around, validation's coming. God's about to show up. God's going to show you. I'm going to do it. Whoever don't believe, don't matter. Validation is coming for your life. Raise your hands right now. There is victory in this house. You've been through tests. You've been through storms. And you thought it was for nothing. I tell you, validation is on its way. Stand on your feet in the house of God this morning. Open your mouth and raise your hand right now and cry out to God. The enemy's lying to you, making fun of you, saying that you are nothing. But God is about to validate you. God's about to elevate you. Do you believe it? If you do, cry out and say, I want it. Get desperate for what you want God to validate in your life. Come on, push. Come on, get your mind. Validation's coming. You've been outcast. You've been forsaken. You've been forgotten to pounce. You've been running. You've been hiding. You've been picked on. You've been downcast. But I want to tell you, validation's coming. God is going to raise you up and give you victory in places that you never thought you could have victory in. You've been through a lot. You've gone through many storms. And many people have said no to you. Don't believe in you. God's raising up a preacher right now. God's raising up a missionary right now. God's raising up a musician right now. Why don't you raise your hand and receive it? The words are going out. You got to grab it. I want to tell somebody, somebody's family member's coming back home. Someone's getting deliverance right now. I want to tell you, not in vain. Validation's coming. God's going to raise you up. God's going to make a way. God's going to kill your enemy. God's going to give you victory. Everything is going to be all right. Validation's coming. The Bible says he became more and more powerful. We need power to deal with what we're dealing with. We need more power. Is there anybody here that needs more power in your home? Power to help you do what's right. Power to make it through. Power to overcome. All the wiles of the enemy, he's trying to keep you down. He's trying to keep you depressed. He's trying to keep you bogged down. Is there anybody here that wants to cry out to God and say, Lord, give me more power. Seek his face. Seek his face. Seek his face. Wherever you are, these altars.